Hello, everyone. Welcome again to the Living Letter Ministries radio broadcast. Like always, God is good, and He is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. As the Lord is moving by the Holy Ghost all over the earth, raising up people to minister His word, show people the way. See, a lot of people have been praying that the Lord would send laborers to His harvest, and He's been doing so. He raised up some of the most unusual pastors and preachers and to reach the lost wherever they be. And He cares about each and every soul. Jesus paid for His people. And He wants them alive and well in heaven. He wants all of us to come to heaven, but not on evil terms. He wants us to be like Him. He wants us to live in His likeness. He wants to bless us and show us things. If you've done things wrong all your life, God still wants to save you and spend time with you. He wants to forgive you of your sin. You know, there's a new series out called Chosen. Everybody need to watch this. Now, it's based on those that Jesus chose for the ministry. And it gives you a snapshot of how their lives were. And it tells you, it's not biblically perfect, but it shows you how their days were. And it's scriptural, but it gives you a sense of understanding what it was like when Jesus walked the earth. I recommend it highly. It's a blessing. I watched season 1 and 2. They're working on season 3. But nevertheless, the things God has raised up people to deliver a message. And he's moving by His Spirit, folks. He's raising up people to be a blessing. There's a new channel called the Victory Channel. I've been blessed by it all week long. You know, it's a blessing. God has raised up people to give people good information. Some of the pastors and preachers that I listen to that help me win in life, I listen to them. Now, ministries, I know a lot of people, I know some ministries are very wealthy. That doesn't mean it's not of God. Some ministries, they don't have many possessions. But I've seen God move in some places. The people were not wealthy. They didn't have a lot of possessions. You know, but the love of God was there and the Spirit of God was moving in them. See, God has people that will walk the line, that will do what's necessary. When we believe on Jesus Christ, the life of God dwells in us. And see, whatever God anointed you to do, you have God's ability to do it. See, the anointing is, I asked him his definition of the anointing. He said it's a sanction that gives a man or a woman God's ability to perform and finish a specific task. So, The anointing can have a jurisdiction. Some anointings are global. Everybody don't have a global anointing. There are people that have a global anointing. They reach people all over the world. And when God give you that kind of anointing, He will cause you to be able to handle great finances. Some people are anointed to a certain area or to do specific works at different places, and they move around. They go wherever God give them to go, and they always have success wherever they go and whatever they do for God. And anybody that help them do it, they're going to share in the reward that God's going to bless them with. And I knew of men and women of God that they didn't have much, but they kept doing the work of God. And I've seen the Lord bless people. I listen to testimonies and I listen close. But this is one thing I noticed. If God give people big ticket items like a car or house or something great like that. And I watched. Now, I'm not talking about people who inherit a house or somebody was just kind and gave them a house. I'm talking about when God was in it. They had been laboring in the gospel for years. And God will call somebody to give them a new car or a real good car or a classic car. or a house. Now, when God was in it, they always had their hand to the plow and they kept moving. They kept doing God's will. Large sums of money was given to people that had their hands to the plow for years. Now, sometimes I've seen people coerce people to give, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when God is in it. I'm saying all this to say this. Don't be so fast to judge what's of God and what's not of God. In order to know, you have to ask the Holy Spirit. And you can't receive from people and accuse them. You can't receive from people you're in strife with. So get out of strife. Let God be the judge. He told us not to judge. And what do people do? They go right over there and judge anyway. Man, got to stop doing this. God said, don't eat off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The day you do, you should surely die. What does he do? He go right over there and eat off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, I love Adam. Adam is sorry for his sin. God forgave him. God blessed him. God promised him that a Savior was coming. You know, when it says that he had another son in his own image named Seth. And Seth was better than Abel, but Cain. So, and Cain was very loving, and Seth was too. I mean, Abel was very loving, and Seth was also. But Cain murdered Abel because God received his offering, had more respect for Abel's offering than his. So he got upset and killed Abel. Well, it's time now. He killed that prophet, and Abel was a prophet. He's listed with the prophets. It's important to receive what God has to say. It's important to receive his messengers. See, if you don't receive his messengers and the ones that God sent you, you're not receiving who sent the messengers. Now, Jesus made that clear in Luke chapter 10. Consider these things. Some people are so busy being a judge that they don't listen. Now, if you know you messed up, God wants to forgive you. He loves you. Don't forget that. Because he talked to me about the last warning. And we're going to get into that. But I want to say this right now. Remember, these broadcasts are on newlivingletters.com. Newlivingletters.com. Very important. That website is very important if you want to know the things of God. Now, the Lord is moving by Spirit. And he's raising up people to give what they can give. Some ministries may be more wealthy, and some may be less wealthy in the eyes of man, but the anointing is not limited, folks. There can be a preacher that has an old beat up car, but he's got the anointing of God. He may not have much. He may have to work a job and preach, but that brother can get you saved. And not only that, I've seen this, folks. I have seen this with my own eyes. Some ministers, they minister to God's people. They don't have the resource. My daddy worked a full-time job and pastored on the weekend. But people who went to his church finished college. They got married. Sometimes they got married young and stayed married. They were educated. Some were doctors. I mean, when you have an anointing, you have something that people need. Don't ever underestimate what the anointing can do. Just because there are other ministries, they seem to have more than others, or more education, or a better looking building and facility. Don't be ashamed of the church that has less, because if the anointing is there, you got everything you need. Remember something else. We're complete in Jesus. We don't need props and crutches to be successful. What's a prop and a crutch? You know, some people, they got to have a certain amount of status before they feel good about themselves. That's not necessary. When David battled Goliath, now Goliath was over 10 feet tall, and he was very strong. Giants are much stronger than normal. They are hybrids. They are half angel, half man. An abomination, because the angels that slept with the women that was the parent to the giant, they were fallen angels. But they were like those of old, those of renown. And if you listen to what Goliath said, he cursed God before his fight. And David promised to feed his carcass to the birds, cut his head off. And he did, because God was with David. David had a sling and 5 stones and whatever clothes he had on. He got 5 smooth stones. He only used one, and he had that sling. But he was anointed. He didn't have armor. He didn't even have a sword. He took Goliath's sword and cut his head off with his own sword and kept it as a trophy. Understand something. Don't underestimate the anointing. Women can be anointed. If you go to a church and the woman is the pastor or teacher there, listen, I've been blessed by women preachers on this radio station. All of them that I've heard. Consider who you are in Christ. You don't need props and crutches. When you have the anointing, the anointing gives you God's ability to perform, to perform and finish a specific task. I want to show you what I'm talking about. See, people don't understand what the anointing can do. It can take an ordinary man and turn him into a soldier, like Gideon. It can take a fisherman like Peter and turn him into an apostle. Along with the teachings of Jesus, he was anointed. And those apostles turned the world upside down. And the religious order couldn't stand them, because they couldn't do what they did. Because they were anointed, and the religious order, the Pharisees and Sadducees and the priests, were not. They couldn't do what the anointed man could do. You can be more educated, and I believe in education. I believe in being as wise as possible. But surrender all the knowledge you get from these Bible colleges and schools of every sort. Surrender that to biblical knowledge. Because, see, the Holy Spirit can guide you into all truth. Did you know some of the bridges you drive over, they were perfected by Holy Ghost engineers? Some of the doctors you go to, they have the Holy Ghost. And see, the Holy Spirit can guide you into all truth. Not just ministry truth, all truth. And God he's been giving man his wisdom. George Washington Carver asked the Lord all about a peanut. And you enjoy peanut butter. All kind of treatments and all kind of foods and products from a peanut. Nobody knew it was there. But who's asking the Holy Spirit to help them in life? See, those who are anointed and those who are wise will do so. When they have problems, they pray in the Holy Spirit, which is praying in tongues. And they ask the Lord for wisdom. And guess what? The wisdom comes. And you don't always have to pray in the Spirit, but you ask, you acknowledge the Lord in your case, and get him involved in your life. And he'll give you wisdom. He'll give you a dream. I asked Elder Lewis years ago, how does God talk to you? Now, I just got saved, you know. He said he can talk to you in your spirit. Primarily, he talked to you through the Word. The Word of God is God talking to you personally. But it's a pattern. That's how God deals with you. He's not going to deviate from the wisdom and love of that word. The knowledge of the word is how he's going to minister to you. Everything you need is in the word. But the Holy Spirit will guide you there and make it plain. So he said that primarily the Lord talked to you by the word. And then he talked to you through ministers, like I'm doing. I'm talking to you. The Holy Spirit is using me as a vessel to talk to you. And he knew you was going to listen. He want to open your ears and your eyes. He wants you to know him too. See, you can do what I'm doing. You don't have to be a preacher. You just got to have enough sense to love God. You just got to love God in your own heart and be humble to him. Then he can relate to you because he give grace to the humble. But the proud people, I want all the proud people who happen to be hearing, the Lord loves you. But if you're going to be proud, he's going to have to resist you. You got to humble yourself and start trusting him more than yourself. And stop trying to upstage other people. Don't try to be better than others. That's what the devil did. That's what's got him all messed up. The Lord talked to me about the last warning. I said, Lord, what is that? I want to know what the last warning is. And he made some things plain to me. In these next broadcasts, I'm gonna do my best to share it with you. But right now, humble yourself to the Lord. Don't harden your heart. Because if people that harden their heart now, it's not going to be good. You don't harden your heart against God. Listen to Hebrews chapter 4. It says again, but this is Hebrews 4 and 7. Okay, Hebrews 4. He said, verse 1, let us therefore fear lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For if we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. You see that? Jesus is the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place, again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Verse 7, again he limited a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? Therefore, verse 9, there remaineth there for a rest to the people of God. And he wants you to enter into his rest. For he that is entered into his rest, verse 10, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. See, Jesus is going to reign on that seventh day, which is in the covenant week, Jesus is going to reign on the seventh day. Now remember, this is Friday night. This is almost the end of Friday. And when the Lord comes back, that's the beginning of the Sabbath day. And he's going to reign on the earth. And his kingdom will always be. It's an everlasting kingdom. And once he begins reigning, he won't stop. He will always be the king of the earth. Verse 9, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Verse 10, for he that entereth into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. We don't earn salvation, we receive it. and all the other blessings that God give us, he graces us with. We don't earn it, we receive it. So everybody is very important to the Lord. And the last warning, guys, he talked to me about the last warning. He's going to do something and give a last warning, and then he's going to take his people off earth. Verse 11, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And remember, as he is, so are we in this world. We have to live in his likeness. We have to trust him. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne, unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Consider these things, because everybody's not going to enter into the rest. One day the rapture is going to happen, and it'll be too late. It's not just about being saved. It's what God can do with your yielded life. If you yield your life to God, he can use it. If you yield your thoughts to God, you can make good decisions instead of poor decisions. If you yield your life to the Lord in the sight of your children, you provide them with godly example, and they'll become Holy Ghost appropriate. They'll become covenant appropriate. What do I mean by covenant appropriate? The agreement that God has given us through his word, that's a covenant, folks. And you will receive it. You enter into it. You enter into the rest of God, the blessings. And God can pour his blessings on you. You can't go by how things look. You know, in Zechariah, it told Zerubbabel not to be ashamed of small beginnings. You can't go by how things look. You got to go by what Jesus give you. And remember, the anointing is not it's without limit. It is unlimited. So a person may not have much, but if they're anointed, they can do much, because God is going to help them. He's going to grace them to do what they normally couldn't do. Remember, by the anointing, the definition of the anointing, it's a sanction that gives a man or a woman God's ability to perform and finish a specific task. Paul was anointed to preach to the Gentiles. That was his jurisdiction. When he went to Jerusalem, he went to jail. He was out of his jurisdiction. He had to live by faith and wisdom when he was around the Jews. He wasn't anointed for the Jews. He was anointed for Gentiles. So when he was in court, he appealed to Caesar. That put him back in the realm of the Gentiles. And if they set him free, that was a mob outside to kill him. He used the wisdom of God, folks. Always use the wisdom of God. Things are not like they look, feel, or what you can see or prove. You gotta yield to the Holy Spirit. And then you will be able to do all that's in his heart. Now I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus Christ is our Lord.